Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca, and I want to welcome you to another edition of Woman to Woman. God is good and worthy to be praised. I tell you, there's nothing like him. I love him. I love him with everything in me. And we're in for a blessing today, because today I want to talk about behind the mask. I want to talk about going behind the mask. So many of us live our lives pretending to be what we think we need to be in order to be accepted in our society, in our communities, on the job, in our relationships. And today I just want to get behind all of that. I want to get behind the mask and begin to minister in the area of realizing that you are somebody special just because you're you. So we're going to get into that, and I'm going to go ahead and pray, open in prayer, and then we're going to get started. Let me just open in prayer. Hallelujah. And I'm also opening up the chat room. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. We magnify your name today, God. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing. Oh, yes, we are rejoicing, and we are glad in it. Father, I thank you for this time that you have allowed me to come here on Blog Talk Radio to do Woman to Woman. I thank you for my sisters and my brothers who will tune in on today, God. I ask that you be glorified during this time, that you meet us right where we are. Somebody needs to hear a word from you, Lord. So, Lord, let us continually look to you, because we know that our help does come from you. So, Lord, I thank you for Lady Renee. I thank you for everybody who will call in, God, and I give you the glory. Save souls, change lives, set the captives free, open the eyes of the blind, heal the sick. And Lord, we will continually give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray this prayer. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca, and today I want to talk about going behind the mask. And I also want to talk about empowerment, why we need empowerment for women. But so many of us live our lives behind a mask. You know, for many years, I pretended to be happy. I pretended to be okay. I pretended to be a lot of different things. But in the end, what really was happening, at the end of the day, I was miserable. I wasn't happy. I wasn't a happy-go-lucky girl. I wasn't confident in myself. As a matter of fact, I had no self-esteem while I pretended to be someone who was very confident in life. And I wasn't dissatisfied with my relationships. I was scared that my relationships, the people that I was in relationship with, would be dissatisfied with me. So I pretended. I pretended, and I want to talk to all of you great pretenders out there who are hiding behind a mask, and I want to ask the question, why can't you just be? Why is it so difficult for us to just be who God has created us to be? You are beautiful. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. You are somebody in God, and I just want to let you know today that you can take off the mask. It's all right. It's all right to take off the mask, and I want you to know that this program is a practical program. Yes, I am a pastor, but I want to talk to you woman to woman, or woman to man, for some of the men who will call in, about this mask thing. Why are we so busy pretending? What is the deal with that? Amen. Amen. And we do have a caller. I'm just going to go ahead and open up the phone line. Area code 586, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Hi, Pastor Rebecca. This is Michelle Hughes, and you know, I just wanted to call in, and I think the reason why most of us live behind the mask is because we don't know who we are. And so we just, you know, play games with people and pretend that we're more spiritual than other people. But inwardly, it's a hollowness on the inside. And it's not until we really get to have a relationship with God and fall in love with him that we can stop pretending, and the mask would just, you know, it would just come off immediately. So I just wanted to add that before your show gets started.
Amen. Well, yes, let's get this party started. I mean, really, we really have to. You're helping me to get it started. I thank you so much for calling in, and I'm going to call you Pastor Michelle, you know, because you are one of my colleagues in Christ, one of the people who's laboring out here in the vineyard. And even though you're not actively in the pulpit in any particular church, your pulpit is right here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm blessed every time I come in to partake of your ministry. So, but you mentioned something. You mentioned us being having those spiritual masks on, like acting like we've, you know, not, I guess we can say this, acting like we have gotten to the point where everything is fine, even on a spiritual level. And we hide behind the mask of spiritual lingo, you know, like the language that we talk. We're quoting scripture, and we seem to have it all together. But you know, I have to offer that I believe that a lot of people that seem to have it all together are living behind a mask. And if you were to take away the scripture, if you were to take away all of the Bible quotations that people talk to you in sometimes, you would begin to see that things are not all, oh, everything is not okay. But why do we do that? Why do we end up in church and saved for years? How can somebody be saved for years and still live behind the mask?
Well, I have found that what happens is you get caught up in the hype of spirituality. You don't get caught up in Jesus. And there's a difference in getting caught up in spirituality and not in who the Savior is. And once we understand who the Savior is, then all the masks will come down, because we have fallen in love, as I said before, with Him. And it's so easy to be around people who basically we like each other the way we are, because we're all pretending. And so nobody knows that we're all pretending, because we're all pretending. So
wow.
They don't even know that you're pretending, because everyone's saying and talking the same. You
the
look
same
the
language.
Same.
Yeah.
Same language, you know, same clothing almost. But behind closed doors, I found they're the biggest sinners. They're the biggest sinners.
So are we forcing each other to go behind the mask? Are we forcing people to conform? Would you say that that's something that happens in the church? Like, if you don't walk like me and if you don't talk like me, then you can't be accepted by me. Is that something that we can say we're guilty of as church people, as Christians?
I think so. I think it comes from the pulpit and it masks into the congregation. And I don't think it's done intentionally. But because we see people, you know, talking a certain way, we think, oh, okay, this must be how you act when you get saved. And it's not an act. It's a relationship.
That's good.
And so when we understand it's not just pretending, it's not just walking through the church and saying, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, it's more to it than that. When you begin to see things fall off of your life, things that you used to have an appetite for, you no longer have that appetite anymore. If you were out there being promiscuous and all of a sudden you tell your boyfriend like I did, it's not going to be no more sex.
Whoa. I know that threw him for a loop.
Okay. You know, I'm saved. And he came from a saved, sanctified home. Then he will try to tell me how to be saved. I'm like, you can't tell me how to get saved because you're not saved.
Wow.
And so
wow.
You get yourself together, then you come back and preach to the choir. But right now you can't preach to me because I know
Amen.
What you do. So that's
Amen.
What happens, and so we can't even talk to the people that we're sinning with. You know, they get saved. And I had two boyfriends. Ironically, I dated two men who came from sanctified homes. Their mother was sanctified. You know, one was a single home, and mother was sanctified, and the other ones, the two parents were sanctified, but the kids were, like, wayward. That's how I got with them. And so, but I thank God because He saved me at the early age of 21, really 20.
Wow.
And so, you know, I got out that scene early on, and so I can speak of it because I know what it is to live as a sinner, but I know what it is also to live as a born again, recreation, rejuvenated Christian. And
Hallelujah.
There is a difference. There is a difference. And so, you know, I just believe that it comes a time when you really want to get to a point where you don't care what other people think. It's all about you and Jesus. And that's what's more important to me at this time. Is I don't care what people, you know, like even on Blog Talk, I'm sure I have friends talking, why is he on Blog Talk? And everybody calling her Michelle. And I don't care about that. It's about saving souls.
Amen.
And, you know, hopefully you can draw them in by what you're talking about. And then when
right.
you draw them in, then you can get them by what you're talking about. When they see that, you know, okay, maybe this person is, you know, I know this lady's saved and stuff, you know, but she's talking about stuff, everyday issues. And so that's what God told me to do. I'm not doing anything that Michelle wanted to do, because to be truthful, I can think about 100 other things to do besides being on Blog Talk Radio. And that wasn't my agenda. But when God tells you to do it, you got to do what Pastor Rebecca's doing and anybody else is on Blog Talk, hopefully being led to do this. And because of that, you know, we're touching souls and changing lives. And that's what's, that's to me, that's what's important, is that something that we say, if it's just a quiet, still word that will draw that person in to say, you know what, because of what she said, what Pastor Rebecca's saying on her show or broadcast, you know, I'm going to go to church. See, that's what it's all about.
Amen. Amen. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people, and I see you, caller. I'm going to take your call and just this, right after I make this statement. I think a lot of people are scared to be who God has created them to be. I think a lot of people are living behind the mask of fear. You know, they're really scared, like that you won't, that people won't like the person that they really are, perhaps because of their past, because of something that happened in the past, or because of something that they've done. So, Michelle, think about that while we put this next, and stay with me if you can, just for a few minutes.
I will.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm just listening. I just started my own little program, so I'm kind of checking out everybody else's. And
oh, God bless you and welcome. What is your name?
I'm Shirley, and I'm a minister, too.
Okay, God bless you. What is your program?
Mine is Justice for Us, but we're going to be talking about things in the system, how they're taking the people's children through the CPS, the criminal justice system, trying to bring justice back into the system.
Okay.
But
well,
I am
great.
A minister, and that's my ministry.
Amen.
Well, you know what, and Pastor Rebecca, can we just help her a little bit today?
Yeah.
When you go on your station,
yes.
or come on any one station, or you come on my station, never call your station or your show or broadcast. You know, some people say broadcast, and I call it show, but that's just what, you know, my show is. But never say it's little, because whatever you're doing, you're touching somebody. So I'm just, you know, don't say little show, okay?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Amen. That's why I love you. Go ahead. Yes. So why don't you tell us, Minister Shirley, tell us about where we can hear your program, and then we'll go ahead and move on. Tell us where we can hear your program, and type that in the chat room for us also, will you please?
Oh, okay. Well, let me go back to my computer. Well, basically, where you can hear my show, I'll be on, I think it's Tuesday at noon, my time. I don't know what's your time.
Where are you located?
I'm in California.
Okay, so what is that?
Right.
3 hours behind Eastern. So we're at 12 o'clock now. So it would be about
9.
Mountain standard. Okay.
So basically, that's what I'm doing. We're trying to get a national bill passed whereby judges or commissioners or whatever would have to give you a 700 form, which is a form to show you all of their financial information, if they belong to any organizations, who they're being paid for, because, you know, it's unfair many times when you go to court and a judge is there to make a decision, and the person that you're going against, the judge is sitting on their board or has a financial conflict of interest without telling you. So that's
Amen, and it sounds very needed. So we'll make sure that we tune in to listen to your program. Just type that information in the chat room.
Okay.
And also, what do you have to say about this topic on today, living behind the mask? Do you feel sometimes that you personally live behind the mask? Are there any moments in your life where you feel like you have a necessity to put on a mask? Or,
no, not me.
Or you've been delivered from that?
Well, I'm an honest person, I tell the truth. Even if it hurts me sometimes, I got to be honest.
And it's always been like that. You never have felt like the need to pretend to be something or someone in order to please others?
No, and that's been my problem. That's been my problem.
That's been your problem. Let's talk about that. So is it harder for people to accept you because you're not a people pleaser?
Because people don't want to hear the truth sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they want you to lie. If you ask me something and I know I did it, I'm going to tell you. So
Amen.
Don't ask me if you don't want to know the truth. People will pretend many times, or tell me the truth, but when you tell them, they get angry. A lot of times people, they like to lie. They like the lie.
I believe that's true. I kind of agree with you because I know with my own self, I've been very secretive all my life. And, you know, I've never told things that I'm telling, you know, even today, what I just shared today. You know, sometimes I go back and say, did I say that? Because I'm very secretive. But when the Holy Spirit moves, you have to speak what he says because somebody in that audience or something or someone needs to hear your testimony. And it's not about you at that point. It's about other people being set free and delivered. And I do believe when people do take off the mask and become free, you know, then it helps you to become free. Listening to Pastor Rebecca when she comes on my show or when I hear her on her broadcast and I hear her talk about some of the things in her life, well, it helps me. It helps people who are not able to be honest, you know, about themselves, you know. And I'm like you, sister, you know. I've always felt like I had the answers, and I've had to learn how to sometimes let other people tell their spiel and not always help people. Sometimes we have to know how to, you know, close it. Even as pastors, you have to. Even as a pastor, we can't always give advice, or we can give scriptures,
right,
because it's not expedient sometimes for us to give our advice.
Well, let me give you an example. For example, you know, even as a kid, I've always had visions and discernment, and I felt I was always sometimes ahead of my time. I would tell people things, oh, you're crazy, you're crazy. They don't want to hear the truth, but then it comes back. So I'm just a person that I don't drink, I never did drugs, and I do smoke a cigarette, but I never did. I've never really been out there in a worldly way. So, but when I have done something and you ask me, I tell you, and people look at you crazy like I would never tell that. But you know what? If I did it, I did it. And most people will lie. They will go around the bush. They're not ready to be completely honest.
Right.
So, no,
and that,
I've never been ashamed of what I've done.
Well,
I take everything that I've done, whether it be good or bad, as a life lesson from God. And we got to fall in order to become strong, in my opinion. If you don't go through anything, you don't grow.
That's the truth. And that's a good, you know, I see Lady Renee. I'm going to bring her on the air. And, you know, I just want to say that that is somewhere that I've never been. Because the reason that I thought I was okay, I really did. I thought that I was like you two, that I had nothing, never tried to hide anything, and that everything was okay. I was one who always had advice for people. If people asked me a question, I had the answer, I had the advice, and I was telling them like it is. And again, I would admit when I did something wrong, if somebody asked me. But deep inside, I did have some issues, and I had some stuff that I was hiding. And you know where it came out? It came out in my relationships. You know, I mean, I would be in relationship with the guys, and I would always pick, like, the finest guys to be in relationship with because that was another insecurity that I had. I had to have the best, but or what I considered to be the best, what other people would be envious of. But the thing about it was I would, after about 2 years, I would start getting disinterested.
Let me ask you a question.
Let me finish this.
Okay.
After a couple of years, I would start getting disinterested in the person that I was in relationship with, and I would start pushing them away. And this went into my second marriage with my wonderful husband that I'm married to now, until I realized one day, and I have been saved now for about 7 years. Until I realized one day that the reason that I was pushing him away was my very own fear of rejection. mm-hmm. that he was getting too close, that he was getting ready to know who I really was. Now, I don't know if anybody out there in radio land can relate to this, that sometimes when people get too close to us, where they can really get to see our secrets and our scars, we tend to not want them to see that stuff, and we push them away.
I agree. I know I operate in that.
I need to ask you a question.
Yes.
The question came to my heart when you said that you had went after the best looking guy, you had to have the best. See, I've never been one into looks. So what does looks have to do with best?
Well, again, that's a part of the mask. That's the part of being the great pretender. Pretend like you have it all together. Everything's great. Everything's fine. I'm happy with myself. Praise the Lord. And we do this in church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the truth was to be told. A lot of us are in church raising hands and shouting and jumping and dancing and going home, like Pastor Michelle said, living like the devil. You know, we are pushing people away from us. We're cursing people out. And I say we because that's how I minister. I minister like it's all inclusive because I know I'm not perfect, although
right.
I strive to be the best
right.
that I can be for God. I don't
mm-hmm.
try to be perfect, but I do try to please my Father. But I say we to let people know that I'm not pointing fingers saying you. I'm saying I've been guilty of it, and
right.
God delivered me. That's why I can minister to it. And that's what we're here to do today, to say, look, we Minister Miss Quiet Storm said this. She said, once we all realize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we can become pleased with who God has created us to be. Bingo.
Amen.
Bingo. That was it for me. That was the thing that turned my life around when I realized that God was pleased with me, so I didn't have to be a people pleaser. As Ms. Quiet Storm said, we have to learn not to seek to be people pleasers, but God pleasers. Lady Renee, I know you're there. God bless you. Welcome. Good to see you.
Oh, God bless you, too. I'm glad to be here. Praise God. I was having some technical problems getting up online. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. I am here today, and this is a fantastic topic because, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, my opinion about the mass is that it's just like what Minister Quiet Storm mentioned. Before you know who you are in Christ, then you're trying to be who you think people will accept. Once you know who you are in Christ and you've made peace with yourself, good, bad, and indifferent, you understand that you're still in the making. God is not finished with you yet. You are free to be who you are. You understand what I'm saying? So you can be authentic. But in being authentic, I want to make sure that I clarify. It doesn't mean that I am going to be open with everybody. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, uh-huh.
You know, everybody is not inner court people. Some people, they deserve to be in the background of
That's
their
right.
life. They're not worthy to come in and share your heart-to-heart issues with you. So
yes.
Although you can be aware that you have issues and you're going before God, being authentic doesn't mean I have to share everything that I'm going through with
mm-hmm.
everyone, because everyone
right.
is not qualified.
And I think too, Pastor Rebecca, what Lady Renee is saying is true. It's because, you know, I believe that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to tell us when to speak and when not to speak. I just
mm-hmm.
don't think
right.
something spiritual is not expedient to say.
Yeah.
Because it may hold a person back from even accepting Christ as their personal Savior. Sometimes it's just mere words can draw a person that they see that you're genuine and that you love them. Not because, you know, love me because of my title. Don't love me
right.
because of my title. Love mm-hmm. me because of, like Quiet Storm was saying, because the greater one lives within me.
Right,
and because
exactly.
we're fearfully made in Christ,
mm-hmm.
that's who's made us, you
yeah.
know, into his likeness, not into Michelle's likeness.
That's
into,
right.
into Christ likeness.
That's
right.
when
people can really feel. You can be on the phone and they can feel it. Whether you say hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, thank you Jesus. You don't even have to say that, and they sense it. They
right.
sense that you are genuine.
Yeah, let me just bring it right back. I want to bring it back around because, you know, what I want to talk about and really, really, really want to tap into is the people who have the mask on, and that mask is hindering them from having the life more abundantly that God says we should have. So it's really a more of a personal thing where you can't do anything because you're stuck. You can't help anybody because you're stuck with your issues, and you're stuck with wanting to please everybody. So it's not so much as us bringing, because when we get healed, now we can begin to help somebody. But, you know, a lot of us in church, we need to be healed. You know, I say this because when I wrote this book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living, and that was a shameless plug, amen, Amazon.com. But when I wrote this book, I was sitting in a big church, and I watched the people go around, and the Lord gave me a spirit of discernment where he showed me the pain. You know, there's so many people, especially women, are walking around with so much pain. And because of that pain, we look good on the outside, but on the inside, we're all messed up. We're bleeding. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. So that's what I really want to give practical talk and solutions and even some scripture to help people to know, look, you're okay just like you are. What happened to you does not have to become who you are. See, a lot of us take our experiences, and I see we have two more callers, and we're going to put you both on the air. We take our experiences, and we let that experience create our reality.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're walking around in the illusion of our experiences, that our experiences now have become who we're supposed to be. And I tell people all the time, what happened to you does not validate you. It does not, nor does it invalidate you. It should not have that power. Because, again, as Ms. Quiet Storm said, we're wonderfully and fearfully made. That comes from our Maker. That comes from God, our Father who are in heaven. You know, we know that through our relationship with Christ, who we are, royal priesthood. Priesthood, a peculiar people. You know, we are ambassadors. More than conquerors. So that's where I want to speak life into some dead situations here. Amen. Area code 303, you're on the air. Welcome.
Welcome, Pastor. This is Lauren Banks Bolden. How are you?
Oh, God bless you. God bless you.
And to everyone else that's on the show. And actually, I was trying to just chat in the chat room. You have an awesome topic today. And what I would like to just contribute is a lot of times, and this would be what I have experienced or what I have also come to learn, that in church, what we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to be saved from things. We're saved from smoking. We're saved from drinking. We're saved from clubbing. We're saved from drugs. But we're not saved from our character flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And our character flaws are the flaws that we carry around with us because as we grow, we're from a child to an adolescent to an adult, we learn things, we pick up things, we carry things, we hold things, we do all of these things, we hear things, people tell us that we're ugly, people tell us that we're fat, people tell us that we're skinny, people tell us that we're tall, people tell us that we're short, people say you have big eyes, people, you know, they just talk about you. So you take on all these insults that you've learned from youth up. And those characters, that have become your character.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get saved, we get saved from the things that everybody can see. But what we haven't understood is those are our choices. We're really saved from the choices, but we need to be saved from the character flaws.
Yes.
And we understand that each and every last one of us are born with character flaws. We have them. I don't care how much we say we tell the truth, we tell it like it is, baby, you got something that God has to deliver you from.
Oh, amen.
And if there's nothing but your own insecurity of wondering, how am I going to be accepted? What is people going to think about this? How should I do that? How does this look? I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. I need to touch this. I need to touch that. I'm so unhappy with myself.
Mm-hmm.
But when we understand, yes, God, he made no mistakes when he made us. He chose us for our path. He chose us to endure those things that we can help one another. But when I understand it's my character that changes and it's my character that I'm saved from, then I understand who I am in Christ, because I don't have self-confidence. I have confidence in God.
Come on. That's power.
And so then I am empowered. I am empowered because of the confidence that Christ has within me, because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through
all
Christ,
things.
Which
Amen.
Strengthens me. All
Amen.
Things. It don't say some things. It don't say a few things. It don't say no things. It says all things.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I have that confidence in God and I have that confidence in what he can do through me, baby, I can tell you the truth, but I can live the truth as well.
Amen.
So that's what I had to add.
Amen.
And, you get me started, I can go out there, but you have to bring me back sometimes.
Amen.
But I'm not going to be able to stay on the program the whole time because I have an appointment, so I must sign off and leave. But you have an awesome topic, and I do apologize for not being able to stay on it, because I would love to hear everybody's.
Well, I'm glad you came. We're glad you came, because you certainly have added something to this topic. So thank you very much for calling in. You have a blessed day.
Yes, you too, and everyone else too. Talk with you.
Yes,
you
too. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye. We have one more caller that I want to get on the air, and then we're going to just – oh, that is area code 510. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. Okay. Caller, are you there? Okay, that person must have stepped out. But I tell you, this topic is a hot topic.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And we need to, just be real. I think it's important that we be real with ourselves. Not so much as letting – Lady Renee, you made an excellent point that we can't let everybody into our inner space. That's dangerous.
Yes, it
really
is. It really
but we,
is.
Wouldn't you say we need to be real with ourselves? Because
that's first. And, well, actually what's first is your being able to be real with God.
Yes.
And the more transparent, the more that you worship God and you really in that word and you're cultivating your relationship with him, now you have accepted yourself, good, bad, and indifferent. So, therefore, I can be Lady Renee. You follow what I'm saying? No matter where I go, I'm the same. Everybody is experiencing the same thing all across the board. Even irregardless of my flaws, I know God is working those out. I know I'm working through this, but I can be me. But that doesn't mean that I am going to share everything. You know, because sometimes people get it mixed up. They think being authentic, being transparent means let everybody know what you're going through. Let everybody know what you trust in God to work in and out of your life.
No.
We don't want to have that where somebody is thinking, no. God will send you some people, maybe a person, that you can really share your heart with, so to speak. You know, this is someone that you can say, I'm dealing with this, touch and agree with me about this, because there are some pastors that are not even walking in integrity, so I wouldn't dare tell them my business. You understand? Because I'm able to discern, like, gossip and backbiting and all of this stuff. You don't want to share what you're dealing with people like that, even though they go to church. Some of them have titles, but their character is not right. You know what I'm saying?
And I think what you're saying, too. Go ahead, Pastor Rebecca. I'm sorry.
And Miss Quiet Storm, are you on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, God bless you. Just hold on because Pastor Michelle has a comment, and we want to hear her comment.
I was going to add to what Lady Renee was saying is because that's what we talked about today, Pastor Rebecca, with Joseph.
Yeah.
See, you could speak too fast, you know, telling people all the things that God has in store for you, and you can abort the things. You want to abort it. I'm not going to say you abort it, but what happens is you'll have more daggers coming at you that you didn't have to come at you. You know, we have to understand that it's not expedient to tell everything, because there's some things you're working out your salvation. You're working out things that he's telling you to do. And so it's not always expedient to tell everything that God is working in your life. So that's very true. Because look what happened to Joseph. He ended up in a ditch.
Amen.
Saw he was dead, left him for dead. So, no, there's some people will leave you for dead. You tell them too much of your business.
Amen. And that can actually be a part of the mask, you know. That can actually be a part of wearing a mask where you're, you know, every time you talk to the, you know, someone, they're saying, "Yo, God is so great, and he's doing this in my life, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that." That can also be another mask, you know. Everything is fine, again, is another mask that we put on. Fear is a mask. Being a goody-goody person with no flaws, with no character flaws, is a mask. So they're just all different types of ways, and that's why I say be true to yourself. That's the message that we want to get out here. Just be true to yourself, you know, to the innermost being. Lady Renee said, be true first to God. You have to be transparent with God. You can't hide anything from God. God knows everything about you. He knows you when you go down to the depths and when you go to the heights. He knows every waking moment, and before you live the day, all of your days were written in his book. So he knows you. You are his child. But the thing about it, let God heal some of that stuff, some of those character flaws that our sister Lauren talked about. Some of us are carrying too much baggage. We haven't even talked about the baggage that we're carrying. Miss Quiet Storm, you're in the air.
Amen. God bless you. I'm sorry about earlier. For some reason, my headset wasn't working. But I'm so enjoying this show. God bless you to everyone that's in the room, on the line. One of the things from my personal experience that I had to learn was to not allow people to define my character, but to dig in the Word of God and understand what God says about me and who God says that I am. Many people, we get caught up. We want to please people, and everybody's personalities and everything is different. So what people are going to understand and accept as okay, you know, even within the church, you guys were talking about the church earlier, there's cliques within the church. And so if you don't fit into a certain mold, or you don't walk a certain way, or you don't say things a certain way, people are going to reject you instead of accepting you for who God created you to be. I had to learn and ask God to deliver me from the thoughts and opinions of people. Because regardless of what you do, there's going to be someone who is displeased with you. There's somebody that's going to have an issue with the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you comb your hair, the fact that you may go get pedicures or get your nails done. There's someone that's always going to have an issue with that. But I had to learn from myself that, you know what, people are going to feel how they feel, say what they say, be who they are, and do what they do. And I had to learn how to go to God and say, God, with all of that said, are you pleased with me?
Amen.
I'm doing your will, because people are always going to try to find a reason to tear you down. Everybody's not going to accept you. And so when we get to that point where we realize, you know what, God, I am who I am because this is who you created me to be. You know, these are the things you have predestined for me to do. I had a conversation with someone a few days ago, and she asked me a question, and I began to answer her question, and the first thing she said was, let me stop you there. Don't say that way. And I had to get it clear with her. You know what? I'm not going to say everything the way you say things.
Amen.
I'm not you. This is who I am. And by the end of the conversation, I had to make it clear to her, I know the things that God has placed in my spirit to do and how he has placed it in there to do it, whether you agree or not. And she, you know, and she kind of got offended by that. And I said, my intention is not to offend, but I'm accountable to God first before I'm accountable to you and your opinion. You may not do it this way, but God may not have given it to you to do this way. So people are always going to try to inject their way of how they think you should be. I had a friend one time who used to try to literally dress me like she dressed.
Wow.
You know, to the point where, no, you shouldn't wear this. You know, we would go shopping, and she would pick out things she liked that I didn't necessarily like. and would get offended when I would say I didn't like it.
Mm.
So, you know, we all have our own accountability to God first.
Yes, and I
you
think
know, people, and because people place these things on us, we want to put on a mask. We have to put on a different mask around every different type of people. And we never discover who we are.
Mm.
And we never get the confidence in who God created us to be. Because we're so busy trying to fit in with the missionaries or the mothers or the pastors'
mm-hmm.
wives or the ministers'
mm-hmm.
wives or these women who have been accepted, because we're looking for acceptance from people
mm-hmm.
instead of saying, and not realizing the Bible says we're accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
Not based on what people think, but based on the fact that Jesus Christ paid the price
That's
for
good.
Us to be accepted by God and reconcile us back to Him.
Amen.
Not based on anything anybody has to say. People, you know, someone said that very recently. People are going to be who they are and do what they do.
Mm-hmm. And so that tells me you have to be delivered from people. You know, most of the body of Christ, this is why we have to really know who we are in Christ and be settled
mm-hmm.
with that. And when you really settle with that, you're not really concerned too much about what people think. At least
that's
where I am.
Okay, ladies, you have to speak up just a little bit because I'm hearing in the chat room that they're losing you. And Lady Renee, you were saying?
I was saying that this is why you have to really be confident with who you are in Christ, you know, and what God says about you. You need to base your whole being on that principle. And when you do that, you're not in bondage to people, because you come to realize that sometimes people don't like you. That's their issue, not yours,
mm-hmm.
especially if you know you haven't said anything to these people, you haven't done anything to them. Sometimes people don't like you. That's about their personal issue. Maybe
right.
some of them have weight problems and you're small or whatever. People still having issues over color and different things like that. That's their issue. You cannot allow. And this is one thing that you get confident in and firmly grounded in when you really know who you are in Christ. You don't let their issues become yours.
Mm-hmm.
You pray for them and keep it moving. You know
Amen.
What I'm saying?
Yes.
So don't make them part
of
your circle. Mm-mm.
Yes.
A lot
yes.
of it is simple
Mm-mm.
jealousy. Just like you said, oh, you know what? I wish I could look that way. Oh, I wish
mm-hmm.
I had long hair like hers.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
I wish I had this, you know, she has a beautiful husband. I wish I had a husband that looked like hers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of it is jealousy.
Yes.
And a lot
yes.
of it comes from the fact that I want what you have. It's jealousy. It's envy.
Right.
And it's allowed to go on and on and on. And like you said, you know, people don't want to be transparent. Somebody brought that out earlier, you know. And I don't have a problem telling people, you know what, that was always, I was like, I believe it was Sister Laura who said, you know what, because I had to get in the Word of God. Understanding who you are means you're going to have to dig in the Word of God. You're going to have to study it and
mm.
know what God says about you and get that into your spirit and embrace it. And that, for me, was the first step in me being delivered from the thoughts and opinions of people.
Yeah, and you know what else we're going to have to embrace, you know, along with that? You know, we really do need to get into the Word of the Lord and find out what God says about us. And we have to know that. And we have to not only know it, but we have to believe it. We have to believe it in our hearts. It can't just be surface. It can't just be something that we're reading, but we have to let the Holy Spirit quicken that word and make that word a part of us, a part of who we are. Another thing that we have to embrace is the fact that people's opinions of us really should not have that much power in our lives. They don't, you know, we're giving people, when we put on a mask and feel like we have to hide the fact that, and I'm not talking about habits, I'm not talking about the fact that we smoke or drink or stuff, think anything like that, but we feel like we have to be something that we're not. You know, we're aspiring to be confident, or I'm aspiring to be, you know, so there's pressure to be powerful or anointed in the church, you know, and we feel like we got to aspire to give this great sermon for those of us who preach, or to be this great speaker for those of us who speak, or to have this great personality for all of us who have radio programs out here. And we're pushing ourselves to be what we think people need us to be. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying today is that we just need to be. We need to be who God created us to be while he's ever taking us from his glory to his glory to his glory while we're being transformed. We talked about the word of God. That is so important because we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then we have to allow the Holy Spirit. We can't forget about the Holy Spirit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work when that thing is quickened. When the Holy Spirit says, let me heal you, we'll let God heal you. We have to open up ourselves to God and allow ourselves to be healed. We talked about this on Michelle's show earlier. Why are we jealous? You know, because it's not just everybody's jealous of us. We also carry jealousy. Why are we jealous? Why are we insecure? You know, why are we scared? You know, these are things that we really have to look at, and I don't think one person on this phone can tell me, or one person on this radio program can tell me, that you don't experience some of these shortcomings, some of these feelings of insecurity or jealousy or being angry or being scared.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Pastor Rebecca? My spirit is telling me, maybe next Sunday you might want to talk about that in your church, about the character flaws. I think that's where the problem is. Like the lady said earlier, we're delivered from things. And you talked about you can't share everything with people because of these character flaws. I think ministers need to really harp on this in the churches, because like you said earlier, they might be delivered from drinking, smoking, their drugs, or what have you, but they still carry these character flaws. And to
you know what? I think it's hard for people to understand that they have the character flaws, because it is designed to keep people competing with each other in the church. If you're a minister, they only use certain ministers. You know, they get to speak, and you don't get to speak. So then you start thinking something's wrong with you. Well,
right.
There's nothing wrong with you. It's just it's not your time. And maybe the person who won't use you, they have issues, character flaws within themselves, and they make it seem like you're not ready. And I know there are times that you know you are ready, but they don't think you're ready. And then you have to realize it's them, it's not Jesus. And then when they see you.
I want to make this statement. I'm going to let you guys finish talking because I'm just listening. I'm a minister, and I do it over the phone a lot with friends and different people all over the world. I receive 200 emails over the world a day. And I don't go to church, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm very displeased with the church. It hurts me when I see, especially in California, I don't know what's happening in your state, when I see them building $75 million churches in infested areas of drugs and homelessness, and they're not doing anything for the community. I believe that the churches have lost their way. We have gone back further than ever because the church's inability, well, I'm not going to say inability, their unwillingness to get involved. When the churches begin to show me where they're taking care of the homelessness, the widow, as the Bible says, the fatherless children, then I'll go back. But right now, I'm very displeased.
Well, let me just tell you, first of all, they're not going to deal with those people. Can I just help you a little bit? Because I've been a part of a mega church, and all I can tell you is that it's no money in it. It's no money in those areas, okay? And I'm not trying to, be funny here. It's the truth. Because I deal with youth, and people told me this. I was surprised when people came and told me, ministers, okay? They told me from with their own mouth, I grieved.
Mm-hmm.
And that when I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm not doing because I don't know, or I can't do better, or I can't go out here and build a big church and all
You're
this stuff.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I can do all that.
You're doing wonderful.
But you know what? What I found is that if we are building churches upon money and who's the biggest church and how much money's coming in the churches, and I'm flying all across and I got my new jet, and that's all fine. They're supposed to take care of us. We are ministers. If you're a pastor, your church is supposed to take care of you, but within moderation. And I say this because a lot of the mega churches, they're not just feeding off of the church. They do books. They do, you know, speaking engagements. So they're not just living off their church. So let me just say that, you know. So a lot of times people think that the church is just feeding, you know, they're bleeding off of their members.
Well, no, let me interject on this. This is Pastor Rebecca. And I have to just interject on this because every church is not bad, you know. And the thing about it is we have a community church. And when you know, that's a great question. I've heard this question last week. This brother stopped going to church because he was discouraged about how the church was responding or not responding to the poor. But when you have a church in a poor community and the people in the community come in the church, they are having the gospel preached to them, and that should empower them to go out and make a difference in their lives. Mm-hmm. So the church is doing, you know, what the church is doing. I mean, if you have a mega church and they can afford to go out and feed the hungry,
right,
they should. But it is my desire, even in being in a small community, being a small church in a poor community, we're right in the ghetto. We're right in the middle of the hood. I grew up in the ghetto, and I minister in the ghetto.
Okay.
And the thing about it is, my mother said to me the other day, she said, you know, we go out and we minister to people. We talk to people. We give out tapes and we give out CDs and things. But they walk right by our church. You know, they won't come in. But the people who do come in, their lives are being changed by the word that's being ministered. And, yes, every week my husband and I minister on being Christians, which is not church people, but being disciples of Christ. So, you know, it's not so much as giving people a fish, but teaching them how to be empowered to go out and fish.
Amen.
So, yeah, the church is the church. And I believe for you who don't go to church, the sister that does not go to church,
that's me.
The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves. I believe that the church needs you. The church needs the gifts that God has put on the inside of you. There is a ministry that needs your help.
That's true. I want to say one more thing. And not only so much the doing for the people, but they've got to get back involved in the social injustices. They won't even have a meeting at the church to discuss it. And our people are...
Well, you need to join the church, and then you'll be able to talk to the pastor about having such a meeting. That's where you can make a difference. You see what I'm saying? That's where you can make a difference, because they don't know you. And they're not just going to let you come in and do your meeting, and they don't even know who you are, what your agenda is. So, but that's a different program.
Okay.
We're really talking about taking off the mask, and I really don't want to get into a political discussion right now about what the church is and is not doing. I do appreciate your input, because we know that every institution is flawed. So we're talking about the people. And if we can help ourselves, if we can change ourselves and be better people, then I believe our churches can be better.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Okay. I think what you just said, Pastor Rebecca, is profound.
Yes.
And I know we're off the church thing, but I'm just going to say this. What is wrong with people who always say they don't go to church? There's a church on every corner. The problem is if it's not big, they don't attend. Why can't you go to the small church and find, some comfort there from that pastor who has a heart after the people? I mean, people like Pastor Rebecca, like myself, we have churches, but y'all ride right on past our churches and complain. So that's all I'm going to say on that, and I'm through with it. But I just feel that, you know, if we can just start with us, and that's what I do on my show, I don't start with no pastor. I ain't starting with nobody. That's why I say call me Michelle, because I don't want people to get caught up in the pastor stuff. And they say,
amen.
You know, pastor, you know. And that's just where I'm at, okay, Pastor Rebecca? That's just
amen.
Where I'm at. And
okay, Michelle.
Yes,
so I'm just saying,
yes.
You know, I'm, that's just where I'm
amen.
At right now. And I'm just saying because people get caught up in issues, and I don't want them to start getting caught up in issues. When I talk, I want to be able to say things without having a title. That's just where
amen.
I'm at right now. And so when I have another show and they call me pastor, I know how to do that too, okay? I don't have no problem with them calling me pastor.
That's why
wrong.
I don't call you pastor on your show. I just took the liberty just then to do that. But the thing about it is we just have to deal with our stuff. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Because we all have issues, and it's so easy to point a finger. And Jesus talked about taking the log. That's what I, this is where I wanted to come. Jesus talked about taking the log, big old, the splinter out of your brother's eye, and you got a big old log in your eye. You know, that's why I was saying, I say we when I'm talking, when I'm ministering. My our congregation loves it because they know I'm common folk. I'm right there. I'm not above. I'm right there with them. We're going to come up out of the trenches together. You
Amen.
Know, the Lord has brought me a mighty long way, and I'm here just to say, look, we could come up out of this. We could come up out of low self-esteem and people pleasing. We don't have to live like that. Or whatever it is that we're caught up in, we can come up out of it. We have the power to do that. And I tell people, we're going to change the world, but I can't do it by myself.
No.
See, we need to, as we impact the lives of other people, we're going to make a positive impact on the lives of enough people to make a positive impact on the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God.
Amen. So we're all doing that. The sister, the minister who does the social injustice, your show is going to be powerful, and we need that. Yes, we need that. And Michelle, what she does, and Lady Renee does, sisters, empowering sisters. Marcus Boston does what to do when you don't like when your pastor says something wrong or what. He powerful programs.
That's
I mean,
good.
There's some powerful programs here on Blog Talk Radio, and it's all about us, you know, just really saying, you know, this is, I haven't arrived, but I've gotten some clarity in this area, and this is my area, and this is where I'm ministering from, and I believe we all do that.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that is so true.
How we come together, like how we come together. I think that one thing that we have to really get straight in the body of Christ is that of us has the total solution, but as we begin to come together, we are all like a piece of the puzzle.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're all.
You know, we're giving our truth, but we all bring something different to the table.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
even in what we're doing.
And as a result, it makes it richer. You know, and that's the thing. It's like to appreciate God that's flowing through you, to appreciate the wisdom of God that's flowing through Pastor Rebecca, that's flowing through Minister Quiet Storm. Amen? And it makes us richer. It makes the programs richer. And you come out of it more, I feel, more equipped, more developed, just richer than what you were before you came on the show. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I enjoy this. This is what I'm enjoying.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what I found is that people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yes.
And that's true.
And so, I mean, you can, you know, scream to the roof, come off your home. But until they know that you really genuinely care about them, then they'll listen to you. And I think that's what we're all doing, you know, in our own different ways. We all have a way of delivering differently. But it doesn't mean that, you know, I know more than you and you know more than me. We just deliver differently. We deliver differently. And I think that we have to understand that. You know, we have a different way of bringing our points across. But that's what happened to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to become like them. And that's why we're talking about when we do have issues, how do we deal with them? And I thank God for Pastor Rebecca bringing this order show. That we need to deal with the common issues that go on in the church that we keep trying to, you know, just push under the cover or under the rug and think it's going to go away. It's not going away. And that's my whole beef, is that these things are not going away. I don't care if I preach and say hallelujah. God is good. He is good. He doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. Amen.
He doesn't change. It's us who need to change. And when we understand that, then we can develop our people to be greater people. When we can say, you know what, I used to do this, but guess what? God delivered me. And if he delivered me, he can deliver you.
Amen.
You see? Because we all come with different issues.
Amen.
That's my cry today. I am so tired. I didn't been around famous people, millionaires, the whole nine yards, and I'm tired of all of it, okay, personally. And so when I come out, I don't care what people think about me.
Amen.
My God.
In my life, okay? Mm-hmm. All I care about is what God is employing me to do. Mm-hmm. And whether you like it, whether you don't like it, take it up with God. Pray to Him and ask Him to change me. If you think it's something I need to change in, you need to get on your knees and go to God and pray until you get an answer from God. And He may tell you, you need to get off her because she's doing what I called her to do. And that's the bottom line. Well, we can respect one another. But whatever, God, if you know it's within the confines of goodness and mercy and His grace, that's all that counts. That's all that counts. And so that's what, you know, God is just, you know, compelling me to just, you know, go to the world, okay? And this is the world. Internet is the world. We will touch more people on the internet than we would ever touch in our neighborhood churches, okay? And that's what they're understanding. If you look at all the big wigs now, everybody's getting internet. Everyone's now talking about issues that. Well, I guess you're going to end
that.
But, you know, people are now talking about issues, relationship issues that they never talked about. Now they're talking about their issues, okay? Whatever it takes, whatever it takes to get the people healed, delivered, set free, instead of just coming to church the same way they came in, it's time out for that type of church.
Amen.
Folks just come in and just give their money, go home, talk about the pastor. Oh, I know, because I was one of those, okay? And so when you speak from experience, you say God changes you. And he rearranges you so that you can be a platform for other people, not because you think you are that, as I say, in the bag of potato chips. No, you're that because God has put in you you are supposed to do. And anything else is going to be, you know, it's not going to be pleasing before the Lord. And, you know, I'm going to leave this. He says this. He's going to count every idle word that we talk about.
Come on.
And so we're going to be judged on every idle word. And so, therefore, we need to be conscious about what we're saying, when we say it, and how we say it. Whether we like it or not.
With the understanding that we're going to reap what we sow. And that is so powerful. With the understanding that we are going to reap what we sow, because that idle word, every inactive, inoperative word that we use. So if it's not giving life, it's giving death. You know, and I think that as God is developing us, He wants us to be mature and responsible, that we watch what we say out of our mouth, that we understand that life and death is actually in the power of our mouth, our tongue.
Amen.
So therefore, we want to make sure, even when you see a pastor falling short or you didn't like something, pray about that. Because you know what? God may be using the way that pastor ministers to reach a certain someone in that context. You know, someone may need to hear him go, you know, I mean, only God knows. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
But sometimes we complain about foolishness or because we don't understand. Maybe you didn't need that, but the person next to you may have needed that. Maybe your sister go to church and she's shouting and running up and down, and you're like, why does she have to be like? Because you don't know where God brought her from.
That's
you might
right.
have you might have a surface understanding, but you don't know where she been to. What she really been through and
That's
how
right.
God has delivered her. So who are you to talk about how another man or woman praise God? We better learn to keep our mouth off of God's people.
Amen. They're getting fired up in here.
Not working for us. Because we're gossiping and we're backbiting, and that's why many of us are still stuck. God is saying, change your own way.
You
Let
came
me
full
examine
circle.
Your heart.
Hallelujah.
And then confess that garbage so that you can go forward. Because
Hallelujah.
You're not going anywhere with a jealousy in your heart, backbiting and gossiping and murmuring and complaining. But then you sit and you say, Lord, bless me, Father. Why is this not moving? Because you got some issues that God got to deal with in your heart. Because it starts with the heart. And your faith is not going to be productive if you're not, because faith only works by love. So when we got gossip going on, backbiting going on, that's not love. And faith is not going to work. Amen.
Amen. And that's it. Like, we came full circle, and you two sisters really just finished us out with a bang, you know. And I just pray that this is being received, because we have to get real. We just really have to.
Amen.
Michael Jackson said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. And
Amen.
That's really what this program is about. That's why we need empowerment. That was the second question. This is what we're doing. We're empowering each other, and we need empowerment. And we have to look in the mirror. Dare to look in the mirror. I challenge you. Dare to look in the mirror, not at your neighbor, not at the evangelist on the TV set, at the preacher on Blog Talk, or not at the person who's militant and doing the work for black people, because we need that, we do. Don't look at people, other people, but take a look at the woman in the mirror, that man or that woman in the mirror, and say, is there something that I need to deal with personally that is hindering me from being the person that God has created me to be, that is hindering me from making an impact on this world that I live in, but I'm not of this world?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that is hindering me from having life and life more abundantly that I'm holding on to? Because we have a tendency to hold on to stuff while we're looking at other people, judging other people. So look
Amen.
At yourself. That's all that I want to say today. Look
Amen.
At yourself and say, God, like David said, search my heart, Lord,
yes.
and create in me a pure heart with which to worship you. Amen.
Amen.
And Carla, I see you. I don't know. Should I take this last call or?
Yeah, we got a couple.
Amen.
Of minutes.
we're gonna put you on the air because I see you have been holding on, and I don't know if I put you on the air. Caller 217.
Amen. Praise God. How are you doing?
Praise
oh,
God.
Praise
God bless you.
Amen. We just thank you. Praise God. Amen. For the awesome women of God, amen, that have gone forth, amen, and truly have said some very encouraging things. I'd just like to ask a question. Amen. How do women ministries, amen, and men ministries come together on a common ground and approach some of the relationship problems that we have in the body of Christ with one another?
Well, it could start with being on a show.
Amen.
Well, you know, I think it starts. I mean, that's good, Lady Renee. But I think it starts with respect. I think that we have to acknowledge that God did not just call men, but He called females too.
Amen.
And that when He called them, you know, He called us like He called you all in Joel. Is what He says, you know. And so when we can come to a point that we can respect the calling. And respect who God has called, then I think that we can become a more a relational type of relationship and understanding that we all have to hear from the Father first before we
Amen.
Even get into the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we understand that, the reason why women can lead a church, I don't think that was God's best position for a woman. I really don't. I have problems with women being in the pulpit. So when He called me, I had to really go and ask God. You know, you want me to do this? Yeah, because you ain't happy with this, you do it. And I had to do it to respect what you all do. And that was just me, okay. And I'm not saying anybody go get in the pulpit because you ain't been called to that. Don't do it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I'm saying is that when we understand that the reason why I do believe God is calling more women today is because the men have not fulfilled the calling in the way that He wanted them to fulfill. And He said he'll call a rock to preach the gospel. If the rock has to cry out, He'll use whomever He wants, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So does that kind of answer a little bit what, you know, and I just believe that when we can respect one another.
That's right. And that there are different perspectives, being as though it's a male and female, we're going to come from two different we can come from two different perspectives, which would give the audience or those that are listening to us a broader, you know, understanding, I believe.
Well,
I'm going to tell you about the God we serve. He can use just the male or just the woman if it's nobody that's going to step up, because the Holy Spirit, you know, all by Himself is all knowing. You follow what I'm saying?
I want to ask the brother, is that what you were asking? Is that the question? What are you talking about specifically about relationships between men and women in the church?
And you know the when you look at let's take a parallel analysis. When you look at the civil rights movement, one of the things that bear out in the civil rights movement is that African Americans, for instance, are always going back to respect and getting equality and those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of looking as I see the body of Christ, and when men and women begin to sit down and talk, it's like when we sit down and talk, like when I asked the question, one of the first things the conversation went to was respect,
yeah,
and also trusting and believing that God,
mm-hmm,
had called women. Well, fortunately, as a man of God, I already know that. So
okay,
we can go another level. You see what I'm saying? It's like, because whenever I approach women of God, I cannot approach every woman of God believing that they have bitterness towards men.
That's
so
right.
I would suggest,
right,
that when women come to talk with men, let's not believe that every man is also standing on the foundation that women shouldn't be in the pulpit. I believe that women are being called because of the passivity and the lack of men. So therefore, because I am a man that believes and trusts that God is doing this thing, I'm a man that is more of an alliance,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
than a hindrance to your program. So therefore,
amen,
empowerment in my life or in my wife's life for me is, how does my wife grow to be a woman of God in,
mm-hmm,
total capacity as a mother, as a wife, and as a praise and worship leader, as a steward, as a servant of God? Because sometimes we take everybody together and say, okay, to empower women, and I have a great experience with this because I'm a part of the Women in Power Network, and I have a great experience with this. It's like, I don't think that you all are treating yourselves very fair, because you clump one another together and say empowering women is getting them, and I'm not saying you all, but most times when I hear women talk about empowerment, it's empowerment to do something in church.
Oh.
Well, okay, that's great and fine, but what about that home? I'm in a inner city school right now where most of these children are acting up that they come from single-parent households. Regardless,
right,
if the man is not there, that woman still needs to be empowered to raise that boy,
right,
to a man,
right,
or raise,
amen,
that woman to a lady.
Amen.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question real briefly, real quickly? Because,
yeah,
I'm not understanding what you were asking. Because, you know, when you said
he was talking about romantic relationships, when he was talking about relationships between a man and a woman, he was talking about us interacting as heading towards marriage with each other.
Oh, marriage, okay.
Or being in marriage.
Oh, okay, so I've, you know, when now you know that's what I deal with on my shows, relationships.
Yes.
But, you know, so I could have helped you out real quick. I thought you, when you said you came from a different way, so I just went where I thought you wanted me to go. But
because you said in the church, brother, you know. So
yeah, you said in the church,
went.
So I just went there totally, you know, when you said the church. I just said, okay, this brother coming from leadership, and I thought you said you were a pastor. So, and I thought you were trying to say, how do we come together as pastors? You know, how do we come together and have a relationship? I just thought that's what you were coming from.
No, as a matter of fact, you're all correct. I wasn't only talking about the marriage relationship, but I'm also talking about the great divide that's between men and women, period, in the body of Christ.
That's right. There is a great divide.
Awesome.
And if anybody says, anyone said it's not, they are living in, as I always say, a bubble. There is a great divide. And,
yeah,
and the more women, as more women come forth with their calling, it becomes even greater. When men are like doubling up and saying, oh, no, this is not going to happen because we like where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to come in and take over our churches.
See,
and our people.
Yeah, they're not saying that. Because we have to be careful in the conversation, because all men,
I didn't
are
say
not
all.
Some,
not all, but some, I know.
You said all. I am on a cell phone. So.
See, and now
yeah,
we have a great divide.
We've got a great divide.
We're dialoguing about it.
And
because there has
truth
to be dialogue. That's one,
mm-hmm,
thing. That's another answer to the question. We need to talk about it, you know. And Lady Renee said, come on the show. You know, we need to thank God for platforms like this where we can talk about this. My husband and, mm-hmm, I pastor together. He's my husband and I are pastors of New Creation Christian Ministries, and I wanted to be co-pastor, but he said, no, you're pastor, I'm pastor, we're doing this together as one. So we don't have any conflict. You know, we together lead the people. And so far it's been pretty good. It's been about 3 years, and we don't really have any problems. And another thing that we do, you talked about marriage. I believe that there needs to be more marriage ministry done. There needs to be marriage focus groups for the couple. And I do believe that women need to go set aside time to be empowered. There needs to be empowerment sessions for women. What I do, that's my whole ministry. I was called to do women's ministry. So what I do is help women get healed. I believe that women's past, the past lives of women, things that happened in the past and things that they're carrying from their past hinder them in their relationships, in the church, and in their marriages. And it even hinders them from being effective as mothers and effective in their communities. So my thing is to get that woman healed and whole so that she can be productive in the kingdom and in the world as she goes out to school and as she goes out to corporate America and as she is in the home being a wife to her husband. A woman needs to know what it is to be a wife. So many women are getting married and they don't even know what it is to be a wife. So all of these things, I believe that the church is falling short. I believe that all of these things need to be addressed in the church, across the pulpit even, that we learn how to be, you know, that we learn what our walk should be, a practical walk. We have the scripture. Now we need to know how to walk out the scripture.
Yes.
Well, Pastor Rebecca, I believe what you're saying is true, but I have found that, especially in the mega churches, you know, they have all those departments and more.
Mm-hmm.
But these are aside from Sunday worship.
Oh, yeah, these are.
And people are not coming out for that, you know, so
yeah,
we do it across the pulpit. We tell people, you know, we do lifestyle across the pulpit. You know, we're not,
yes.
I mean, we preach the gospel. The gospel is opening the eyes of the blind, preaching the good news to the poor, setting the captives free, and healing the sick. You know, so we have to, I mean, through Christ, of course, we know the gospel is that Christ came and lived and died so that we could have life eternally and abundantly and that we can get back into relationship with God. But that's the whole, and also we need to tell people how to get out of debt, that they don't have to be poor. So that encompasses the whole gospel, and that can be done on a Sunday. It can be done. It doesn't have to be pushed into a little corner where you're hoping people will come out.
Amen.
Yeah, you've all given awesome points. I would encourage you, amen, even in looking at the scripture that the sick may be healed, realize that our spiritual or mental sicknesses, I don't know if you've paid attention, but there is a very covert sickness in the body of Christ that extends from and hear my heart, because I have a very awesome woman of God in my house, and my house would not be able to be ran in the way that it's ran. My life would not be as committed to Christ if it had not been for her stalwart.
Yeah.
But we also understand this, that God has also given men the ability to look into body of Christ and see some sicknesses within the women. And one of the sicknesses that we have to be very careful about is that covert spirit that allows us not to be able to come to common ground, but one has to be set above another.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that about the pastor and the co-pastor. I wouldn't agree to a co-pastor neither. We could either be both pastors or we could be both one senior pastor and associate pastor, but you can never have a division because that means two. So I like that mindset, and that's the type of ministry that's going to have to go forth. I have just learned by going through a men's Bible study how to even view my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I would have viewed my wife as me on top and her coming underneath, but that's not the model God gives us. God gives us a model. He is above. He's the covering. And my wife are alongside of each other.
That's good.
But for men and women to come to that understanding, because I'm seeing organizations of women now where they're teaching and instructing women that you are better than men.
No.
And men have a place in their life. And I'm like, whoa.
Are they a Christian organization? Is this a Christian organization?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But they don't know headship. They don't know headship. They don't know. They don't know the tier of the church, how it operates, and that's the problem. Well, you know, Christ is first, then you know, then
the
then,
man,
then
the woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, well, see now, yeah, now see, I have a little different interpretation of that, but you know, God is first. You know,
right,
then
God first.
Is yeah. Then you're right. Then it's the man. He's the head of the home.
Right.
He's not the head of the church
right.
unless he's a pastor. And then at the home, the man is the head of his wife.
But you
and then the family.
But
what people do, they put the church above their family and their wife. And that's not how it goes. The church comes under. And that's where the men of God are going wrong in the church. That's why their families are going chaotic. That's why they lose their children. Because they put the church first, then their family. And that's wrong.
Let me interject something, if I may. Can I interject? I know in California, I don't know where you guys are from. What I'm seeing in my state is that so many, I can agree with what he's saying. They're trying to make it appear that the women are better than the men. There's so many women out here that are single parents. They have just lost their femininity. They're men haters, and they are teaching what he's saying.
Yeah.
Well,
because they have a heart and heart. They need to be healed. There's a sickness. That's what you're right. You're so right. There's a sickness. They need to be healed. And that's who we had two programs in one. Amen. Praise the Lord. My brother, I pray that we answered your question. What is your name?
My name is Minister Smiley. Amen. I do sometimes a Blog Talk Radio show on Sunday.
Oh.
I'm a member of Men in Power, Women in Power. International ministries. I would say this to you also. Women of God, when you go forth, understand this, that even among yourselves, when the question came out about how the model of leadership came out, there started to be a little bit different views that you have. And be reminiscent of the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement started off as all African Americans, no matter what skin texture or color they were. Now we're down in the civil rights movement. It's light skin versus dark skin.
Mm.
And be sure that in the body of Christ, that the women of God, as you go forth to put forth your agenda and your vision and your mission statements, that although there are various areas, remember the most important thing, that you're women of God, not women of black, white, or women of feminine. But they're your women of God, created in the image of God, as helpmeets to men of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we can never change that, no matter whether you're a pastor, no matter whether you're a first lady, no matter what.
That's
God
right.
set in order in Genesis 1:26. And as long as we walk in that order, we can begin to break down the divisions, the isms and schisms in the body of Christ. I just appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, fine and awesome women of God. And I just pray that you continue to press into the greater things
Amen.
And the deeper things. And you will hear of me. I'll be back on whenever your program comes on. I get an email. So,
Amen. Praise God.
Opportunity to come on. I have to go back and get my students. I pray God's blessings upon each and every one of you. Continue
Thank
in the direction that God
Thank
is
you.
Giving
you.
Thank
I want to say
something.
Now, in our state, the civil rights movement is not. See, like I said, it depends on where you're from. It's not light skin, dark skin. In California, it's the haves and the have-nots.
Amen.
Mm. And there's still separation, and we just really need to pull together, you know,
right.
especially as Christians, you know,
yes.
as people of God. Again, you know, we have denominations and all of that, but in the beginning, in Antioch, when we were first called Christians,
mm-hmm.
there was no division.
Right.
And Paul discouraged division. So we really need to be united. In Christ, we need
Amen.
To be united. The brother, Minister Smiley, made an excellent, excellent point. And even in the civil rights movement, black people against black people, what makes that any better than black-on-black crime
right.
here in the cities that we live in? So we
Amen.
Need to be different so that we can make a difference.
Amen.
And that's really what this whole program that has been extended was about. We need to be different. What
yes.
can I do? How can I be a better person so that I can help the world to be a better place?
Amen.
And I think if everybody gets that, we can be going somewhere.
Amen.
Because we can't change anybody.
If we don't deal with the issues at hand, you know,
right.
We'll never get to the problems that go on in our race, out
yes.
in this world. We have to deal with the issues. And so
yes.
if
yes.
we don't deal with these issues, we're just living, again, like I always say, in a bubble. Everyone's doing their own thing, but nobody's still conquering the problem. We go in and out of church, and we don't deal with the issues. We don't help people. We give them the scripture, but then we don't tell them how to apply the scripture.
That's right. That's
in
what
everyday
I'm talking
lifestyle.
About.
See?
Yes.
And so that's where the problem is coming in. They go back to their old surroundings. Everybody doesn't live in a rich community. Some people live in communities where everything is going on. They got to come
right.
back and know how to deal with these issues.
Yes.
So I just have a problem now. You know, we can scream to the rooftop who's leader, who's not leader, my title, your title. At the end
right.
of the day,
mm-hmm.
we still got to deal with issues. White,
yes.
black, light, you know, I'm cute, you ugly. I mean, it's just ridiculous what goes on. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
amen.
We don't, if we don't
that's why we're here,
thing,
right, Michelle?
That
that's
is
why
we're here.
This.
That's my whole point. That's what I'm saying. Just stay focused. You know?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We have to stay focused.
We're going to chip away at this mountain. We will
that's
chip
right.
away at this mountain. Yes,
amen.
We will. All of us. All of us together.
And what we're doing, believe it or not, Pastor Rebecca, what we're doing, we're helping other people to see
amen.
That y'all need to wake up, get out them bubbles, because people
yeah.
are going to hell real fast with issues, not salvation. Okay.
That's right.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I made you a favor.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you. I look forward to talking with you again.
Oh, I love this. This is beautiful.
Mm. Amen. God, you know, God is good, and he cares about all of us, you know,
yes,
and this is the thing that I love, that we have to be real. We can't be, we can't turn into walking, talking books, you know. We have to be people. Who
now,
the book
churches,
begins
like
to
this.
Shine through. See, when that book, the Bible, when I get that Bible in me, that
mm-hmm.
Bible should be able to shine out of me to embrace you and to
yeah.
be able to love you and to be able to talk to you and to be able to help you. But if I just put the Bible, like Michelle was saying, if I put the Bible in me and keep it for me, what good is it? Because that's not why Jesus came. He
well,
came
I wish I could find a church like this.
Oh, let me just say this to you. We're going to pray. Pastor Rebecca's going to pray for you because, see, that's a cop-out, and that's what we're trying to get to. There's too many churches in California. It is you right now with your issues with
it's
the
me.
Church. And until you break that issue that you – that see, somebody hurt you. Don't
yes.
let no one turn.
I've been to many of them. I'm just I just get a little upset with them. If you see
you –
I don't
just,
know.
Well, you just said it. You're a little upset. But what are you upset with?
Because there's too much going on in California, and the churches are silent.
They can't, wait a minute, hold it. Let me just say this to you. The church is not the answer to every issue. Pastor Rebecca keeps telling you, you're mad with yourself because God is telling you to get in a church, and you start it. You lead it up. Stop looking for a man to do it. You do it.
That's your
assignment.
You're
doing
it.
But you're mad with the church. But God is telling you to go to somebody's church and tell them your need. They're not going to, let me just say this, honey. If you came to my church with something, I ain't going to use you. Where's your name on my roll? I don't know what you stand for. Are you saved? Do you believe in Jesus?
Of course.
You could be talking heresy. Ain't nobody going to bring you in their church and just let you because you're talking about political things. That's not how we do it.
Well, no,
you.
I think you're wrong. I don't go in there talking political things. I go
I
to church.
You're
I
not listening
my,
to
I
me.
No. I go, I stay. I've joined, I've been there. When you want to talk about things that are hurting the community, we're not talking about political, where you see people are really being hurt, they won't touch it.
Now, I don't know, because if you came to me with a plan,
nobody's
you know, you came to me and said,
you guys are in a different state. California is completely different. You need to come out here and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Somebody, let me just say this. Everything I've ever done, if I didn't go... Let me just say this. If my pastor said no, I went down the street, up the corner, around the corner, called somebody up, and they let me do it. Okay?
You sound like me. Oh, Lord
well,
Jesus.
I just do it. I have some pastors that work with me, but they don't have churches. But
okay.
Inside, they won't do it. I'm telling you, I don't know what's going on.
Well, don't worry about that, honey. Go to church, get what they give you, come home, and do your thing.
Yeah.
But don't alienate yourself from the church. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Exactly.
You
because there are people like us in those churches. You know what I'm saying? There are people like us in those churches that are going to help you to be sharpened because iron sharpens iron. And you need the fellowship. You need somebody, like you said, to be able. And not only that, but we're supposed to go and worship the Lord, you know, in an assembly of the saints. That's the Bible tells us to worship him in the assembly of the saints. So we have to go and just pay tribute to your God, you know. But make sure it's a church that is preaching the word, you know, and make sure it's a place that agrees with your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if no church agrees with your spirit, then you need
to say that. Like I said, I'll find it. I've been to several of them. I like the preacher, but like I said, there's certain things that I don't feel that they're helping. I think it's...
You do the helping, okay?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah,
Pastor Rebecca, why don't you pray for her so we can end
the
show?
Yeah, we're going to pray, and then we're going
to... You just need to just, you know, get focused on what God's called you to do, honey. Forget about what the pastor's doing. He's focused on what he's doing, feeding the sheep. He's not on your agenda. You can't make him be on your agenda.
I don't. That's why I do my own thing.
Okay, well, then go to church. Just go to church.
Well, and
I'm not being funny,
again,
but I mean, do you feel me, Pastor Rebecca?
And she does too. Minister Shirley is your name.
I'm a pastor.
Like I said,
I'll go when I feel it. But right now, I am doing my thing, and I am.
So you say you're a pastor?
Yes, I am. I told you before, I get 200 emails a day all over the world.
Okay.
I am a pastor, but I just don't go along with some of the things that they're doing in our state.
Do you have a church?
I have a church. I just haven't been going.
Okay, I'm confused.
No, she has an online church.
Oh, you're talking about,
do I have a church?
No.
I don't have a church. No. I thought you meant, do I belong to a church? Yes, I just haven't been going.
Okay.
So you do
because
internet.
Because like the person said earlier, the clicks and things like I don't believe you spoke.
But you see a pastor, okay, are you pastor on the internet, where do you pastor?
Oh, I don't have a church, no. I don't have a church, no. But people
you,
do call
have you ever had a church?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. I've never had a church. And I'm not gonna say I'm a pastor like you are thinking of. I shouldn't even say a pastor. Really, I'm Dr. Shirley Moore, and I don't have a church where, like you're thinking.
But you're a minister.
I'm a minister.
Why, you're a minister. There's a difference.
So you've been through
seminary.
Yeah, so you got your doctorate by going to school. Yeah, okay.
And I'm a doctor, and believe it or not, in religious humanities.
No, we believe whatever you went to do.
We believe it.
I went to seminary, too. Yeah.
And I do it, but I don't do it in a church. Like you thinking, I minister to people over the phone, I help people, I bring families back together, I help get innocent people out of jail. I do a different ministry. I'm helping people.
Well, Pastor Rebecca knows that I'm kind of like you. The difference is I have pastored for 8 years, and I still have a following. But I'm like you right now. I don't have a church home, a church where people come to my pulpit at this time. But I know
I've never
going
been
back.
In the pulpit like you.
Oh, no, I've
always
church.
People, it's over the phone, people call me, or they email me, or they want me to come out there and speak and help on social issues. And I'm not talking about political, social issues. That's what I do. But
and see, the only thing with that is you're giving, business. But you're not being nourished. You know,
yeah,
you're giving out, and I'm concerned about your own personal spiritual nourishment.
And that's true. I am giving. I've given a lot.
You will
but
be
I'm
burnt out.
Nourished.
You will
and
find yourself being burnt, Sister Minister Shirley. You'll find yourself
burnt
being
out.
Burnt out.
She said she
am.
Is. She is burnt
if,
out.
If you don't go someplace, if you're not, you know, quality time in the Word, but you need more than that. You got to be in the, you know, corporate anointing. You need that corporate anointing. Because it's something about that corporate anointing that breaks the yokes over your life and keeps you focused on what God's called you to do.
Well,
can
I ask you another question?
It can't be an island out here.
I'm going to let you guys be the one to give it to me because I really appreciate this. I adore
it. Well, Pastor Rebecca, you know, there's a lot of churches. It depends on where she lives in California, but I'll let Pastor Rebecca in. This is her show.
Well, we're in New Jersey. My church is in New Jersey. We're in New Jersey. So we don't, I don't know.
I'll send my clients to you. I have clients from New Jersey.
Amen.
Call me all the time that's going throughout there.
Well, we would be glad to have them, and we would love on them like Jesus would. So, but what I'm saying to you, I'm concerned about you. I need you to pray about a church, and I'm going to see if I can find a pastor in California of like mind.
Yeah,
you know,
I live in Chino.
In what?
Chino.
What city is that?
Chino, the suburbs of L.A.
Chino. Chino.
Have you ever heard of Fred Price? I know you heard of Fred Price.
Oh, yeah, but I know of him. Mm-hmm.
You don't like
him? Speak to you when you see him in the bank, honey.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Well, won't speak to you.
All right. Well, Pastor, you're
all righty,
pray.
We're going to pray. Lady Renee, you have anything before we close?
Yeah, she would have hung up.
She must have gone. Okay. Yeah, I think
I've enjoyed you, ladies. It's been beautiful. I didn't even plan to stay on the phone this long, but the spirit said stay.
Okay.
Amen. You have to listen to Michelle's program as well. It's blogtalkradio.com/
Love Sick Relationships.
Who?
Love Sick.
Love Sick.
Love Sex.
Love Sex?
Uh-huh, Relationships.
Okay, Love Sex, okay.
Relationships.
Okay, well, I'm married, but I'm going to listen to your show.
Well, it's apropos for everybody.
Okay.
I listen at 10 o'clock every morning. I listen to, sometimes I go incognito as a guest, but I listen every day.
Okay, I'll listen to you tomorrow
at 10 o'clock.
And Lady Renee, who was just with us, has another powerful program, Sister, S-I-S-T-E-R,
mm-hmm.
Empowering
mm-hmm.
Sisters, with
okay.
an S on the end.
I'll put that. I'm going to listen to this other lady. They told me the Black Women's Roundtable, Regina.
Okay. And we're going to pray for you to find a church. And let's pray.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, God, we do touch and agree that there is none like you. We thank you, Lord, for this time that you have allowed us to spend together here on Blog Talk Radio. God, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Even, Father God, coming behind the mask and helping us, Lord, even to deal with our issues as we look at our own lives in the mirror, Father God, of your word and in the mirror that is being presented by your spirit. Lord, we love you on today. We love you so much, and we just want to please you. We want our whole lives to be pleasing to you, God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your mercy, God. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for wisdom, God. We thank you for fellowship with our sisters and even our brothers, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you were in our midst during this whole time that we were together. I thank you for every call, every person that listened, every person that listened via the stream, and every person that's listening via the archive. And Lord, I especially thank you today for my sister, Minister Shirley, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for her very life, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that she knows you and she wants to serve you, even in the area of the civil rights, Father God, even in the area of humanity and social reformation, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that she has a heart, Father God, to make a difference, Lord, in the communities, Father God, that are considered to be less desirable, Father God, to those who are sitting high and looking low, Father God, in this world. So we thank you, Lord, that she has a heart to serve, Father God, and she, Father God, is a yearning. Even on the inside, there's a yearning to make a difference, Lord. So, Lord, Father God, bless her as she goes out, Father God, and does the work that you have even called her to do, Lord, because we do know that it is a calling that you have called her to begin to make a difference in this world. Lord, and Father God, heal her right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, of any hurt, Father God, that has been, Father God, inflicted upon her, Lord, by any man or woman of God, any church member, Father God. And Father God, even as she has looked upon the ills, Father God, of the church, Father God, Father God, even, Father God, take away any, Father God, a bitterness, Lord, and resentment that may be trying to take seed in her heart, Father God, because we know that we need to serve you with a pure heart, Father God, and that is one of the weapons of our warfare, that we have a pure heart that's purged from all bitterness and Father God, from all even hostility or even, Father God, any disillusionment with your church, Lord. So, Lord, even help her, Father God, to see the church through your eyes and to see the church, Father God, for what it is, Father God, for what it is, Father God, a broken vessel, Father God, being put together by you, being used for your glory. So we thank you for this treasure that you're putting in these earthen vessels, Father God, that you can use us as broken and messed up and imperfect as we are. Men and women of God, even pastors and ministers and evangelists and prophets and apostles, Father God, whatever title we want to put upon ourselves, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for using us even in our imperfection. So even help us all, Lord, to see the church for what it is, an imperfect vessel being used by a perfect God. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord, for her life. And, Lord, I ask that you will just move her heart, Lord, and show her where she can go to be a part of your church, Father God, because you're coming back for the church, for the one church, Father God, without wrinkle, without spot. So help us, Lord, to join together and to find a place where we can serve you, Lord, where we can help that imperfect pastor and that imperfect ministry to strive towards your perfection, God. Not perfection in our eyes, but your perfection. Lord, we love you today, and we love each other through your eyes and through the love that you've given us, Father God. And I thank you for our sisters who have gathered together, even Lady Renee and the minister that called, all of us who were here today, Lord, help us to be better, God, so that we can go to the church to help your church to be better. But, Lord, just help us not to stand in judgment even, because it's so easy, even for myself. I know that you know that you're helping me, God, not to stand in judgment. So help my sisters. Help my sister Shirley. Help my sister Michelle. Help my sister Renee. Help my brother that called in, Smiley. Help us not to stand in judgment, Lord, but help us to roll up our sleeves and be a blessing, Lord. And be a blessing to the body. So, Lord, we thank you. We know that you've given us gifts. And the gifts that you've given my sister, I pray that you will lead her, even this week, that you will lead her to a church where she can find her place, God, and where she can be used mightily for your kingdom. So we ask for healing, total healing, God, total deliverance, God, in every area of our lives, all of us. All of us ask for total healing, total deliverance, God, and especially my sister, Shirley, Lord, as she has found a comfortable place with us, a safe place amongst us, God. Help her, Lord, to find that wherever she goes, Lord, and help her to create that wherever she goes. And, Lord, we will continually bless the programs, bless every single Blog Talk Radio program, every Blog Talk Radio show, God, that is represented here in this circle, Lord. And bless for your glory. And we will continually, Lord, at the end of the day, bless Michelle and bless Lauren, Father God, and bless, Father God, Evangelist Luciano and everybody, Father God, who's out here in the harvest field, because you said the harvest was plenty, but the laborers were few. So even the people that Minister Shirley ministers to on the internet, Lord, let her be whole so that she can minister wholeness, God. And, Lord, we thank you for those that you will send our way. All of us thank you for those that you will send our way. Help us to be good stewards of the souls that you send our way. Help us not to bleed all over the people, Lord. We need to be whole so that we can minister wholeness. So, Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for what you've done in our midst. We thank you, God. We praise you and we worship you because you are all that we need to get by, all that we need. So we thank you and we love you and we bless your holy name. And we do know that we need each other because you lead us to each other. So we thank you for leading us to each other. And we magnify your name. It's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray this prayer as we go our separate ways. Let us make a difference in the lives of someone. Amen. And praise Amen. God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'll see you tomorrow.
God bless you. I'll be looking for you. God bless you, Michelle.
You have a blessed
day. I love you, lady.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. And thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. You've been listening to Power in the Word, the extended version of Woman to Woman. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity as you go out there to make a difference in the world for the kingdom of God. And remember, my sister, remember, my brother, that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word, Woman to Woman, New Creation Christian Ministries. Peace, and God bless you.